Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this way, Sudarama and I enjoy sense gratification in the material world. But he was not at all satisfied. Just as the fire never ceases blazing if constantly supplied with drops of fat. Purport. Material desire is just like a blazing fire. If the fire is continually supplied with drops of fat, the fire will increase more and more and never be extinguished. Therefore, the policy of trying to satisfy material desires by catering to one's material demands will never be successful. In modern civilization, everyone is engaged in economic development, which is another way of constantly dropping fat into the material fire. The Western countries have reached to the summit of material civilization, but people are still dissatisfied. Real satisfaction is Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Bhavratram yena tapsya savayaloka mushrava sudrasava bhutana jinamasu rechate. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerity, the Supreme Lord of all the planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material misery. One must therefore take to Krishna consciousness and advance in Krishna consciousness by properly following the regulative principles. Then one can attain an eternal blissful life in peace and knowledge. In this way, Sudarama and I enjoyed sense gratification in the material world. But he was not at all satisfied. Just as the fire never ceases blazing if constantly supplied with drops of fat. It's funny, when I first read this, the first thing that entered my mind was initiation. And we see that as the yogi is going on, as the ghee is poured onto the fire increases. And it's a turning point in our lives. Some of us are trying to get to the point of initiation. Some of us got to the point of initiation. Some are moving on, trying to get to second initiation. And some have sort of given up. In the NHS, which is where I work, we have a thing called compliance. And compliance is always there up until the point where there has to be a change in lifestyle. Doctor, I'm feeling unwell today. This is my problem. And the doctor will give a prescription. And depending on the prescription is depending on what you as the patient has to do. And the doctor says, well, I'm very sorry, but your lifestyle is causing the problem. Please give it up. And then we have a battle. Because most people don't want to give up lifestyle. And it reminded me that at initiation, we take vows that we will follow the four regulative principles, and that we will chant our 16 rounds of japa. Those trying to get up to that stage are starting to change their lifestyles in order to get to that stage of initiation. And so we're starting to feed the spiritual fire with the ghee, and we're starting to ignore the material fire. What happens if you ignore a fire? Eventually it dissipates and goes out. But sometimes we're a little bit shy about mentioning the regulative principles. We don't really want to talk about them. Yeah. Especially outside of devotee circles, and we're presenting Krishna consciousness, and we go, you know, don't mention the four eggs. Shh. Yeah, we'll hit them with that later on. Let's get them chanting first, see where it goes. And then what we have is we have the wonderful sloka wallas who come along, and they have the wonderful slokas that gives us the exemptions. Well, Prabhu, you know it's okay doing this, but, you know, you don't really have to do it. You know, I've found a lovely sloka here. If you just follow it, 10, 15 years down the line, you're wondering why you're not making any progress in Krishna consciousness. Okay, look at your exemption certificates. Look at how valid they are. And look at your lifestyle. So what I thought I would do is I'd actually take a close look at the regulative principles. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull in my 20-odd years of NHS frontline dealing with the problems presented by not following the four regulative principles. And hopefully that will focus minds a little bit on how important these four regulative principles are, and how actually, you know, so when we present them, we should present them with actually some force. We shouldn't really be too shy. So I'm going to relate a small little story, and I've actually wondered whether or not I should present this little story, but I want to bring points home. Within the NHS children's ward, we occasionally come across incidents that make you stop and think. One of the things that we do have a problem with is young children who have discovered the joys of alcohol and sex life. We're going to play with the big boys now. And it's not unusual to get an emergency referral. And one time we had an emergency referral of a young 14-year-old girl who was found in the streets in a state of disarray, with clothing removed and highly intoxicated. This is not unusual in Western society. 56% of all cases of intoxication in a children's ward involve young ladies. The statistic changes when it comes to adults, but when it comes to children, 56% of all cases involve young ladies. So the young lady came onto the ward highly intoxicated, not too sure who she was, where she lived, what had happened to her, no recollection whatsoever. So after finally rehydrating her to the point where she could actually give her name and address and we could contact the parents, obviously, the nursing staff were concerned, and so were the police. The parents are saying, she's a good girl. You don't have to do any investigations. You don't have to take the clothes away. You don't have to do any of this. So once the girl was stable enough to leave the ward, she left the ward, only to return 3 weeks later, collapsed in school. What was the problem? She was pregnant. And she couldn't work out how she was pregnant because she had never had relations with a man. Make the connection? The alcohol. Yeah? I looked at statistics, and I keep on hearing devotees talk about London Harrow. Yeah? It's close, isn't it? I believe, yeah? Yeah, okay. So I looked at the 2013 Department of Health statistics. How many abortions do you think were performed in Harrow for 2013? Any ideas? 1,136 abortions were performed in London Harrow alone, of which 131 were repeat abortions. This is for people under the age of 25. Okay? STDs, chlamydia, 334 out of 100,000. Jai Sri Sri Radhika Kulananda Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gaunitai. It's the biggest cause of infertility in women. It's interesting that Prabhupada constantly reminds us of this disease of sex life and what actually happens. So the young girl's laid there and she suddenly realized that she's got a child growing inside of her. The father's reaction is, get it aborted. The mother's reaction is just beside herself. And a young girl's life is completely turned upside down. So what is our duty when it comes to sex life? We see material desire, we're getting sold it all the time. The magazines, the songs, the videos to the songs. All saying sex life is good. It's very, very healthy. And yet it's destroying the fabrics of society. So what are we teaching? No sex life. Unless you want to bring a child into the world and take responsibility for the child's life. And in order to take responsibility, then we have to take responsibility of our partners. So there is a commitment. It is not that you have a body, I have a body, let's just enjoy. It is right. Let's get together in union to bring this child up Krishna conscious, which means that we support each other in growing in Krishna consciousness. So the fabric of society is welded because there is a commitment. Yeah? Commitment in relationships. This is something that we don't see in society. Well, we'll enjoy ourselves, see how it goes. And, well, if it doesn't work out, well, there's plenty more in the sea. We're all right, you know, so. And, well, you know, if the worst happens, don't worry. You know, we can just go to the clinic. Spot on. Yeah. Misuse of alcohol cost England approximately £21 billion a year in healthcare, crime, and lost productivity. 2.6 million children live with parents who are drinking hazardously. 705,000 live with parents who are dependent drinkers. NHS alone is 1.2 million alcohol-related hospital admissions, of which 1.6 million are under 16. Why do we fuel alcohol? Well, it's the way to live, isn't it? It's the way to cope. We've had a hard day at work. You've got to wind down somehow. So I'm just going to take some alcohol. Okay? It costs less to buy a pint of alcohol than it is to buy a pint of water. Now you figure that one out. Yeah? Go and have a look at how much they charge for soft drinks and how much they charge for a pint of alcohol. That'll really focus your mind. Yeah? It's acceptable. So the young girl was experimenting with the alcohol because that's what her parents do. So that's what she does. It's what all young people do. Yeah? What happens is that the mind is skewed. And then what do? The men are chasing the women. The women are fodder for the men. Don't worry, you can come to the nightclub. The women can get in for free. Our first drinks are free and the rest are half price. Do you want to know why that is? Your eye candy for the men. Exploited. The women are exploited. The men are exploited because they're so lusty with desire that they will pay full price to come in. That'd be £30, please. Drinks aren't half price for you. You have to pay full. And if you're buying for the lady, you have to pay full as well. So the men's intelligence has gone because their lusty desires are chasing the women, so they have to have the alcohol to get the guts to go up and talk to the girl and, yeah? And it doesn't quite work out, or somebody else gets there first, and then there's fights. Yeah? There's a street in Swansea called Wine Street. Actually, it's spelt wind, but it's pronounced locally Wine Street. If you go there on Friday, Saturday night, there is a good chance that you're going to end up in the local hospital. Yeah? How many people want to go on a night out and end up in the local hospital? This is what's known as having a good time. Yeah? I'm going to go. Yeah? You know? Yeah? And the women are exploited, but they don't think they've been exploited because they're having a good time also, you know? Yeah. The young girl, she was having a good time up until the point where she found out she was pregnant and then it wasn't quite that good. Yeah. So she'd gone to school, she'd gone bragging rights, you know, I was in the hospital drunk. And then she had to go back 3 weeks later, I was in the hospital, I'm pregnant. It doesn't quite do the bragging points, does it? Yeah. Most divorces, when you actually look at divorces, they center around two things, mainly. Unreasonable behavior, and why is the unreasonable behavior generally related to alcohol? Most of the time when the police are called to a home, to a domestic, you can guarantee that generally one of them's drunk. Yeah. I was in the NHS when we started to bring in children-only A&E departments. Why do we have children-only A&E departments? Try admitting a child at night when you have an A&E department full of drunks. And you have a numb mother with her 2-week-old child suffering from pertussis, which is a killer if not treated rapidly. And she's faced with an A&E department full of drunks wanting to fight. Why is the police in the A&E departments now? For that particular reason. Yeah. So what do we do for a good time? We miss out the alcohol. We miss out the sex life. We're going to enjoy Kirtan. Haribo. Yeah. We want to get over the miseries of material life. A plate of prasadam and devotee association, what more do you need? You want to pick me up from the distresses of life? Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Take devotee association. We don't need sex life. We don't need alcohol to have the best time in the world. There's no A&E admissions at the end. There's no unwanted pregnancies at the end. And at the end, you can remember what you did because you're still in ecstasy. The alcohol wears off. The ecstasy of kirtan never wears off. The only downside of kirtan is that some Prabhu decides to finish. We've still got time to go. You know, we've still got vibrant energy. Let's do it. Let's do it. So we're going to go on to gambling. Okay. Any people here like gambling? Really? You're all so intelligent, aren't you? 83% of the UK population likes gambling. The Gambling Commission says that gambling yields £6.3 billion. Okay, per year. £6.3 billion is made from gambling. Okay. What's the reasons why people gamble? Well, 83% said it's because of the big win. It's a double rollover. It's £3.2 million you can win this week. Let's do it. Let's go for it. I'm going to put my £2 on. I know that I need to feed my family, but the £2, if I win, we're made. Okay? That's what the Gambling Commission wants you to do. Funnily enough, 78% say it's for fun. I gamble because of fun. Yeah. Funny enough, I was sat with one of my clients, and there was two men talking about going to Mecca Bingo. Yeah, we're going to Mecca Bingo. Yeah, it's going to be the, you know, they were ever so excited about it. And I sort of said, well, how much is it going to cost you? £40. You're going to go for a night out, it's going to cost you £40. Yeah, but I might win £1,000. Really? How often have you won? Well, I haven't got. How long have you been going? 15 years. If you've been going every week for 15 years spending £40, you could have made a couple of thousand by then. Yeah? 53% to make money. Yeah? Yeah. It's interesting that the NHS puts rates of depression and attempted suicide at double that of the national average for those who gamble. And also, you're more likely to go to prison as a result of criminal activities to fund your gambling habit. It's interesting that the Gambling Commission doesn't tell you the level of debt of people who gamble. The BBC looked at that. Any idea how much the gambling debt of those that have reported debt in gambling is in the UK in financial terms? Any idea? £25,000. £25,000. Can you imagine the strain that that's putting on households? Yeah. So why do we not have gambling? Because we have intelligence. If we want to invest, where do we invest? We invest in the temple. Yeah. The return here at Bhaktivedanta Manor far surpasses the return that you will ever get in a gambling house, in the scratch cards. Yeah? Because Krishna's rate of return makes that few million pound just pale into insignificance. What's Krishna's return? No more material suffering. Full stop. No more worry about how am I going to pay the bills. Full stop. Yeah? It's interesting that Prabhupada, when he's talking about gambling, points out that there are those that are expert in gambling, and it's interesting that they're the ones that people pull out. Come and look at these real expert gamblers. Look at the one that won the £2.5 million. Aren't they good? Okay. But then we are reminded that, generally speaking, most people are not expert at gambling. Okay? The disrobing of Draupadi came because of gambling. Yeah? The destruction of family life comes because of gambling. Yeah? So that's why we should say, no gambling. Because we're intelligent enough to know that it comes to nothing. And my favorite school subject is the final one. No meat eating. It's interesting that when I go into schools, and I'll actually say to them, okay, tell me about your pet. Sir, I've got a pet. Right, everybody's got a pet something, right? And how do they adore them? You won't believe what it did this morning, you know, especially the younger children. Yeah? And then after a while I say, you know, well, can I show you my pet? And so I throw up a lovely picture of one of our young cows. And you know the one with the young Mataji and she's asleep on the cow? Do you know that picture? It's a beautiful picture. I always throw that one up and say, isn't that the sweetest picture that you've ever seen? Now, please explain to me why you kill and eat. Yeah? Please explain to me why your teachers don't take you to the slaughterhouse for a school visit. Yeah? We want to understand betrayal. Understand betrayal through the eyes of Mother Cow. Do you want to know what the September figures for slaughter in the UK? For September, 46,060 cows and 53,634 heifers. That's basically cows that have not given birth or have only had one birth, were sent to slaughter in the UK. Is that sobering? So the cow gets born, and it's sat in the field, and along comes the farmer. Oh, you're lovely. And the farmer takes so much care of the cow. He feeds it. If it's sick, he gets the fat in. And he spends lots of time making sure that she recovers so nicely. Isn't this so beautiful? Have we not seen such a beautiful scene? And the cows lay there thinking, this is beautiful. How much am I cared for? What a beautiful, pleasant life I have. And then round about the age of 4 or 5, the milk yield starts to go. And the cow is seen as unproductive. I can't make profit out of this. So the cow is sent to the slaughterhouse. It is not a happy cow place. You are taken off the vehicle and you are forced to move forward. You cannot move back. Imagine being in a situation where your freedoms and your liberties have been taken away. So you're moving forward and forward and forward. And then you see the most horrific sight you've ever seen through your eyes. And you cannot believe what you're seeing. As the bolt is thrown through the cow in front's brain, then you see it hanged up by its hind leg and its throat cut. Where do you want to be at that particular moment in time? Not in the queue. Why do schools not take children to the slaughterhouse? Because children are intelligent and they will take one look at that and go, seriously, I'm not going to eat a piece of meat ever again. We want to understand betrayal. That's betrayal. Yeah? You've been looked after so nicely, all your needs provided, and then sent to slaughter. In the material world, there is always going to be I'm trying to think of the term that I want to use. It's always going to be suffering. Okay? But as devotees, we want to minimize that suffering. The cow has intelligence. The cow knows what's going on. Because if you see that line, the cow is trying to get out. And the fight or flight is kicking in. The cow is depositing. It's getting rid of all bodily fluids because it wants to run. It wants to get out of there. It is suffering. It is fearful. It is quaking. But it can only go forward. It can only go forward until it's his turn. The ultimate betrayal. We wonder why there's war. There's war simply because we do not understand the suffering that we inflict on animals that have the intelligence and the understanding to know what was going on. So no meat eating. Yeah. So that's the four regulating principles. And what binds it together? The chanting of the holy names. The more we chant, the more we get the taste, the more easier it is to follow the regulative principles. So we're actually taking the ghee and we're pouring it on our initiation fire and we're making it grow even more and we're ignoring the material fire. We're ignoring what society says is the norm that inflicts suffering, so much suffering. And we're making the spiritual fire grow. And if we're suffering spiritually, look at what we're not doing. Which of the four regulatory principles am I not following correctly? What's my japa like? When I'm coming home, what's the first thing that's going through my mind? Is it Kirtan? Or is it Coronation Street? Yeah? Is it Top Gear? Or is it hanging out with the Brahmacharis? Yeah, Brahmacharinis. Yeah? So I'm going to leave it there. I want us to be more positive about the four regulatory principles because these are the four protections that we have in material life. It saves us so much from the horrors of material life. So is there any questions, any thoughts, any corrections?